welcome to the First Round Flick Podcast. I'm Sandra Dugan.
And I'm Eric Dugan.
And we are two ordinary moviegoers just like you.
We sit down in our living room and draft our top five favorites in a given category. And this week, we're back for another round of shorts to talk about our favorite limited series.
Along with big-name movie stars, we have also been gravitating more towards miniseries and other limited content, especially because we can stream it at home comfortably.
Yeah, it really has been a golden age because of all the streamers that have come in the last few years to join established heavyweights like HBO that have been doing this for a long time. And now that we have all these movie stars, like you said, these are shorter projects, but they have the same production value, and they also can play more around with the constraints of a story. In general, TV shows have been great as we've moved on from the You Must Produce 22 shows in a year. It can be more loose, and it can fit the needs of the story, so we can get more in-depth character work than you might see in a movie, but it's also not the same commitment of starting a whole new show.
Yeah, and it's also much more enjoyable than a whole show often because you know that there's going to be a finite end soon. Often with television series, especially on streaming networks, you don't know if there's going to be a follow-up season. We have started several seasons of streaming shows where they have just stopped filming and then we're stuck in season two and it didn't really wrap up the story. Whereas with a miniseries, you have a clear beginning and a clear end and you feel accomplished once you've finished it.
Right. You know you're going to get that payoff. It's been written and constructed to have it be complete.
Let's establish a few parameters. We're only going to be talking about fictional miniseries this time around, though we love documentary miniseries also. We're going to leave that for a different episode.
Yes, we have already watched Tiger King, just like everyone else, but for another time.
Are you ready to roll?
Let's do it. First for Sandra, 4. And I got a 2. Sandra goes first.
Yes.
And with that, what is going to be your first pick?
My first draft is going to be American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson.
We do love us some O.J. Simpson content here in this household.
Was this on your list?
It was on my list.
The one big negative for me is, of course, Cuba Gooding Jr., who is a questionable reputation at best. But if you move past that, this miniseries really is great.
It's got a really good cast.
Absolutely, including Ross from Friends.
Exactly, David Schwimmer.
Do you remember?
Yeah, he plays the Kardashian's father.
Yeah, he plays Rob Kardashian. The lawyers all in general are perfectly cast. My personal favorite is Sarah Paulson as one of the prosecuting attorneys. I think she does a wonderful job, but it is a great cast and it is a well-produced show in that it tells the whole story without taking sides.
There's been a weird phenomenon in the last few years, it seems like, where a documentary series and a dramatized version of something both come out at the same time. And this came out at the same time as the series OJ Made in America. Both of them collectively put together are great at painting the picture of what was happening. But for us who were young children at the time that all this was going on, it was a really great primer on one of the most momentous events in American culture for the 90s.
Absolutely. And there's some things a documentary miniseries just can't tell you, like what those moments must have been inside that car or inside that house or inside those meetings in prison between OJ and his lawyers. So it is cool to see that dramatized in another form of entertainment. This miniseries aired on FX in 2016, but you can still find it if you search for it.
Yeah, I think they're on Netflix now.
I would like to point out that we have watched American Crime Story, The Assassination of Gianni Versace, and it wasn't quite as good, but it is still a good watch.
It does still have Penelope Cruz being great, but
she is fantastic.
Neither here nor there.
And Ricky Martin.
Right. But first season with OJ is the best.
It's much better. Yeah. I can't wait till the Clinton.
Ryan Murphy knows how to bring it. He's a god of TV, and he also has a huge deal with Netflix now. So I'm sure he's got some big projects coming there too.
I'm very excited. And I'm excited to hear about your first choice.
Well, for my first choice, I think I have to go with True Detective season 1.
Cool, 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 cool. I feel neither way about this choice.
This is an iconic piece of television. It was the beginning of the reconnaissance. Woody Harrelson is also always great. This is got everything that you want from an HBO series. It's intense. It's got sex and violence, and it is an incredible mood that the subsequent seasons of True Detective have never been able to really match or achieve. And that just tells you something how singularly special that first season was.
Well, Matthew McConaughey is an American treasure. And I did enjoy parts of the third season with Mahershala Ali, but he is no Matthew McConaughey. And I don't know if he carried it as well as McConaughey did, or if the season around it was just not as strong. But you know, I just have a bitter taste in my mouth when you say True Detective, because it was a good first season.
But then the second season wasn't good. But there's something just so singular about the character of Rust Cole. Because even the whole show, the way it ended, was kind of weird and disappointing. But the whole vibe that he brought to it, and then the lines, time is a flat circle, the just drinking a six-pack of Lone Stars, it's an iconic moment of TV.
And perhaps led him to his Lincoln partnership.
Yes, because he keeps doing the same character. And of course, I also have to do a shout out to the episode 4, where they do the 10-minute long shot while they're raiding a drug house, while it also gets raided by the police. It is a stunning piece of television that came before this whole trend of doing long shots became such a thing.
Correct.
So even though the star has faded on this anthology series as a whole, I'm happy to draft it as number one.
Now, this pick could be a little controversial, for it has deviated a bit from its original billing as a mini-series, but I have to draft it, and that is Big Little Lies.
I can hear the theme music in my head.
Me too. I was bobbing around. If you're unfamiliar, Big Little Lies aired in 2017 on HBO. It was the first season now of two, but it aired originally as a miniseries, which was written as an adaptation of a Leanne Moriarty book titled Big Little Lies.
Star-studded cast.
Incredible cast. Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, Laura Dern, Zoe Kravitz, all doing their best work.
This is truly peak TV in a box right here, and it's melodramatic. And it's drenched in a hazy filter. It's just such a mood, but it is fantastic.
If you haven't read the novel, I recommend it too. It actually takes place in Australia, so it's a slightly different vibe, but it is also filled with intrigue and drama. And there are some notable deviations, which are kind of fun to spot. And this is no criticism of the series by any means. It was great on its own, but it is a little different than the book. I loved the friendship between these women, and how rarely we get to see a cast of women in Hollywood, and how they bonded and really seemed to support each other and care for each other in real life. I think that's so cool. And I also really like the fact that the storyline isn't often a romantic one, but it's more about the inner relationships and the inner struggles of these women and their relationships with their children.
Very well done. And now that Reese Witherspoon has kind of become this TV mega producer and continues to kind of play her same character, It's really fine. She's good at this. Also, just came out on Hulu, Little Fires Everywhere. She seems to play a very similar role.
We weren't as big a fans of the second season as we were of the first, but it is good. It just didn't quite meet our expectations, which were set pretty high.
This is why limited series are best, when they just stick to limited series rather than chasing the success to make it stretch out to something longer. Sometimes it works. Big Little Lies, less so.
I think I went in it apprehensively because there is no sequel to the original work. And so it was kind of a Frankenstein piece together thing that HBO did due to the popularity of Big Little Lies. And it seems weird to say that something starring Meryl Streep isn't going to be as good as something without Meryl Streep, but it just wasn't. The plot was thinner, and they seemed to be elongating the story a lot more than it needed to be. It should have stayed a limited series, in my opinion.
Yeah. So we will remember it as such. And it was, at the time, it did win the Emmy for a limited series. So good pick.
Thank you.
Next, I am going to draft what I think for our generation was the granddaddy of original series, and that is Band of Brothers.
I'm so glad you drafted this because I want it to be recognized, but I don't want to draft it just because it wasn't my personal favorite, but I recognize that it is fantastic.
This is one of those huge moments that made HBO as we know it today. Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg coming off of the success of Saving Private Ryan and moving into their dad's obsessed with World War II phase of their lives, decided to produce this miniseries, which followed the 101st Airborne from dropping in on France all the way through the end of the war. It started off every episode interviewing a real veteran who went through it, and it was all very drenched in history, trying to show that it was a dramatization, but it was as real as possible. And it was huge for television. They spent so much money. It definitely had the same quality of production like Saving Private Ryan. And this was crazy for a, what was at the time, just a TV platform.
It also kind of reinvented the miniseries as must-watch television. For so long, miniseries were just something you tuned into on PBC when you were bored, or little side projects that were on late night.
Yeah, maybe it was a special event on the broadcast networks, but then this also coincided with the age of the DVD, so then you got the big DVD box set of Band of Brothers. I know there has to be so many of those still sitting out in the world, even though they're now obsolete. I, for one, got a whole big DVD series of The Sopranos when I decided that I was going to watch all of that. So it really was of a place and time right there at the turn of the millennium, and even still today holds up. It's incredible.
Great choice. Thanks, Tom Hanks.
And of course, they followed it up with The Pacific a few years later. Not as good, but you know, still good.
Tom Hanks is now safely recovering from COVID in Los Angeles.
Pray for Tom Hanks. And we also learned when we went to visit New Orleans last year that he voices some projects for the World War II Museum there.
Yeah. He just really likes World War II.
He's really an expert.
He's so pure, guys. We must protect Tom Hanks.
What's going to be your third pick?
My third pick is probably the least known miniseries out of the ones we've named so far, but I loved it. The Night Of.
We really did dig The Night Of.
This is a miniseries that aired on HBO in 2016. If you are unfamiliar, this is a true crime drama. It is about a young Muslim American man who gets wrongfully accused or roped into a crime in the New York area.
And again, context is everything. This came out in a post-Making a Murderer, post-serial world. And now that true crime was a huge popular genre again, this slots in right well. Very excellently produced by HBO. So you get that payoff real quick. It's great.
This is also peak unreliable narrator. And this was another example of a character in pop culture who you couldn't quite trust, but that made him that much more appealing.
Very, very dark. It almost does completely take place at night. So the title fits. Not a light watch, that's for sure.
Riz Ahmed plays the main character, but the standout performance, in my opinion, is John Turturro, who plays his defense attorney. And he is quirky and often unpleasant and brilliant.
It's a good pick.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to go to another anthology series, and that is Fargo. Specifically, season one.
You're just hitting up all these anthology series, aren't you?
They just happen to be fantastic. And this one, inspired by the Coen Brothers movie, they went back and they kind of have continued to expand this world. The first season follows Martin Freeman, and also Billy Bob Thornton is in it as a hitman. It's got everything that you love about the movie. It's kind of got this witty, dark humor and violence all mashed up together in a very compelling package. The second season is also great. Third season, I actually haven't finished watching, but there is a fourth season that is coming soon. It's been delayed because of the coronavirus, but Chris Rock is going to be in it, and they've kind of moved around it. Now every season is kind of about a different organized crime family versus the police, and it's really good.
But it has strayed from its original season.
Right. They're all kind of in the larger universe, but they are individual, distinct seasons.
Highly recommend if you haven't checked it out.
I know, not exactly your cup of tea. I'm straying on the violent side of TV dramas, but I would love to hear what your fourth pick is.
Well, if you want something violent in a completely different way, my fourth pick is a miniseries titled The Act.
Right. I'm a little sad that I didn't watch this one with you.
It is really great. This miniseries aired on Hulu in 2019. So it's just under a year old, and it was fantastic. It is a retelling of a true story about Gypsy Rose Blanchard and her mom, Dee Dee Blanchard, and their complicated relationship. If you are interested in family dramas and particularly mother-daughter relationships, this is the miniseries for you. This is also a great couple of performances. Both actresses were widely praised for their performances, and Patricia Arquette did in fact end up winning Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Limited Series for her performance. A really messed up story, though.
Conveniently, there is also a documentary.
Yes.
So you came into this kind of knowing what was going to happen, but like with OJ, it's very interesting to see a dramatization so the artist can kind of get inside the head of like the motivations and their perspective about what's happening.
The documentary is called Mommy, Dead, and Dearest, and it is an HBO documentary, which is also great. And they are a great binge if you feel the need to be engrossed in something. Watch the documentary first and then dive into the miniseries. Also, Chloe Sevigny is in this movie, and she's one of my favorites. She plays a white trash neighbor in the miniseries, and her performance is also just chef's kiss. She's fantastic.
She was in Big Love for those HBO fans out there. Great pick.
Thank you.
I feel like I say great pick every time. It's a great pick. Well, for my fourth one, I am going to select Watchmen. Just came out this year in the fall, but honestly, one of the best television experiences I've ever had.
But is it a limited series?
It is a limited series.
Are they never doing a Watchmen 2?
They've announced they're not going to do another one.
Wow, I'm impressed. I really thought they would.
They thought they were going to Big Little Lies it?
I really thought they were going to Big Little Lies Watchmen.
Damien Lindelof, who was the force behind originally Lost and then The Leftovers, he wrote this season and he basically said that he came out and wrote it as a single season. He was going to consider it, but that was the story he had to tell. He didn't feel like he needed to say anything more. And so that's just the end. And it was completely perfect.
Watchmen was just recently recognized also because it is such a socially conscious show. It did bring a lot of awareness, particular to the race riots in Oklahoma. And people have really gained a new interest and new insight into the race differences because of Watchmen.
It expanded upon the universe of the original comic, which then also became a movie from Zack Snyder, which I think is underrated. The comics were originally set in the 80s. Take that world, flash forward to today, what has happened. And it did focus on a plot in Oklahoma, but major characters like Dr. Manhattan do come back. But the way it unfolds, the soundtrack by Trent Reznor, the direction, everything about it is exquisite.
It's really beautiful. I highly recommend it. It's also really strange to look at and really captivating. A lot like Westworld.
It is definitely
similar vibes.
Yeah, yeah. It's got that same kind of like mind-bendy, it's a puzzle that you're watching unfold as it kind of like pieces together. So for some viewers like me, that is my bread and butter. I love it. Your mileage may vary, but if you're at all connected to Watchmen previously, I highly recommend it. And if you are going to watch it, I think you will get a lot more out of it if you have some experience with the comic or if you've watched the movie before. So maybe take a look at one of those first. And with that, what will be your final pick?
My last pick has got to be Sharp Objects.
At the time, it felt like this was HBO's next iteration upon Big Little Lies, bringing in a big movie star to tell a dramatic story. The mood is very different, though. It is quite the harrowing watch.
Sharp Objects aired on HBO in July of 2018, and it starred some pretty big names, including Amy Adams, Patricia Clarkson, and Chris Messina. who has become a heartthrob as of late.
I can see it. I can understand.
Can you?
Yeah. Based on a Gillian Flynn novel, she wrote Gone Girl. So it's true crime. Bad things have happened.
The novel is a little more gruesome and raw than the miniseries, if you can believe it. So if you wanted it to be a little darker, go ahead and read the book and then go and rewatch it. It is fantastically made, though, and one of the things I appreciated most about it was the attention to detail. Everything from the dollhouse to the dresses to the impeccably built storylines, it was really, really great.
It's a very well-done show, but I have one bone to pick with it, and that was how, with the beginning of every episode and the intro sequence, they played a different song.
I know. This really bothered you.
It really bothered me at the time because I felt like this was a little trend. HBO also did the same thing with The Leftovers in its final season. And to me, my connection with a TV show or a series, you need to have a great theme. If you watch Succession, you know what I mean about what that can do to just get you jazzed and ready for the episode. And especially with these HBO shows where they have really long title sequences that are very like well done. You need some cohesion. I didn't feel like the music always fit. It was just like some random music playing against the beautiful pastiche that they've put together.
Especially at the time, you couldn't smash that skip intro button. So you just had to sit through the intro, and which was just a weird music video to some clips from the episode.
The music was supposed to have some important meaning to the content of the episode, but that feels like it's just a little bit of weird kind of hints that it's kind of tied to like what they were doing with Westworld of like, oh, we need to give them hints about what's happening through all these little things. No, just make it cohesive. But other than that, it's a great series.
I really enjoyed the fact that Amy Adams, who is the main character in this series, is not put together. She is not polished. She's messy. And you get invested in her story. You very rarely get to see that kind of woman protagonist. It was really compelling.
Justice for Amy Adams. We need to get her an Oscar.
For real. The Lysa Scanlon, who plays Amma in Sharp Objects, goes on to play Beth in Little Women. I was very excited when I saw her in Little Women because I recognized her from Sharp Objects, although she plays a completely different character.
Yes.
Highly recommended. If you haven't checked it out yet, now is a good time. Maybe don't watch it at night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little creepy. A little eerie.
But I will say a great pairing to another one of the draftees that we've had. Not going to tell you why, but you'll know.
You'll know. If you watch every single miniseries on your list, please let us know which one has something in common with Sharp Objects.
Yes.
That's some homework, Eric.
Go to our social accounts, at First Round Flick. Let us know.
Yep. All right, Eric, what's going to be your last pick?
And for my final pick, I'm also going to pick another recent entry, and that is Chernobyl. This series is dark. It is grim. But it has never been more relevant,
right?
Especially to these COVID times. Chernobyl is, of course, about the nuclear disaster that happened a few decades ago, where there was a meltdown at a nuclear reactor, and it infected a whole bunch of people, and was a stunning indictment of the Soviet system. It was a crack in their fiction that they were better at everything in their Cold War against America. And that's really what it's all about. That's what's so fascinating, is how the cumulative weight of lies, what that does to a society and what that does for a society that is more invested in those lies than the lives of people. Oof. It's just so well done. The weird thing about it is that they're all British actors and they're talking in their British accents, even though they're playing Russians. And that was just a conscious choice that they made so that you could focus on the content rather than their accents, whatever they may be. And you kind of get past it. It's like a laugh track in a sitcom of old, where it's jarring at first when you think about it, but eventually it kind of fades into the background. And just so many weird trivia items about this, that it was actually written by the guy who wrote The Hangover. And he hosts his own podcast called Script Notes. And now it's just so relevant to today because it just feels a little too on the nose about how our present government has gradually come to accept and act on the threat of COVID now that we're all holed up. But
it's also visually such a stunning example of the resilience of nature. And we are seeing that right now with COVID, and it's very reminiscent of those scenes we often see of Chernobyl now, where it's populated by creatures and has really come back.
It would be a heavy rewatch for this year, but it might be worth it because if you're going to pick something out of this list that is the most relevant to today, it's definitely Chernobyl.
Or sharp objects. Either way, we hope you check some of these mini-series out and you let us know what you think.
You can head over to our Twitter or Instagram at FirstRoundFlick. You can also email us firstroundflick@gmail.com.
And if you have a few minutes and you want to help us out, please head on over to Apple Podcasts and give us a rating or a review.
Thanks for joining us this week. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.